360 podcast to Jay Bird.
Steve can't catch a muskie.
Got it made. Can't catch a muskie.
Getting mad.
Can't catch a muskie. Boys and bop. Anyway.
That song blew my mind.
Blew your toad.
Blew my hat right off.
My hat's gone, Dad. Anyway.
My shoes fell off.
His shoes are off. I think he's dead. Anyway, folks, it is live from the bait cave coming to your ears.
That's so right.
You know, getting back in the swing of things here.
Yeah.
I'm adjusting. Jay, it's hot. It's so hot.
Not here.
Much hot. I know. It's freezing up there. It's hot up. It's the most bizarro land stuff I've ever seen. What's the temps up there?
It was like a high of 65 today.
That's ridiculous. It's 97.
Yeah, like too hot to fish during the day.
It's probably like in the 80s right now. It's you walk outside, you're sweating.
Ick.
You think about outside, you're sweating. It's just what a weird weather year. You got the El Ninos, the El Niners.
I don't know. It's a burrito year. Yeah.
Got a blue moon coming up. Other than that, wacky stuff.
Wild and wacky stuff
from the world of sports. Other than that, got an update to the Apple version of Muskie 360 this week.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
So if you don't have auto updates, update that. It'll run smoother.
Nice. Okay.
So if you had problems, if you were like, I can't get the moon phase to come up or whatever, get the update, snag that from the App Store. All you got to do is go to Muskie 360 and update it. Android guys, some people had different problems with different devices. Android's really weird. There's so many different devices to keep up with. So the update is coming out later this week. So about time. Got some wacky and wild stuff there. It's the same old Muskie 360 app that you love, but just updated for the new Gen of phones and all that fun stuff.
Sure. Okay. So
if you've sent in a picture, I finally got those up. That's something we mainly do. And so that's going on. Other than that, nothing too crazy. The Muskie shop.
We got some new books in. I didn't tell you.
What? Next level Muskie.
Yeah, we almost ran out. We were down to like one or two copies, and we got a bunch
more.
Dude,
it has been so cool.
Yeah.
Me and Jody Mike were talking about that. That's not a real name, by the way. But I got a message this week. Literally, somebody's like, I can't find Jody Michael on social media. Are you? Well, yeah, because I don't want you to. Social media is for plebes, but you know, it's very ridiculous.
Is it?
Hold on, sorry. Me dumb.
Mm.
Sorry. Anyway, they couldn't find Jody Michael on there, and there you go. Sorry, the internet is going crazy. Stop it. Phone. Can you hear me, Jay?
Yeah, perfect.
Sometimes it just goes silly. But nonetheless, somebody's trying to find Jody Michael, and that's nonetheless. But she told me, she was like, you know how many books you've sold. I can't, my head exploded. Guys, thank you so much. There's no money to be made on that in that endeavor. Let me shut this down. Son of a gun. You know?
What are you talking about? What do you got going on?
Well, I'm hearing some clicking, Jay.
A laptop issue?
No, I don't have a laptop. What? I'm not a plebe.
Yeah, you do.
Well, I have multiple computers. Right now, I'm on the studio computer here in the bait cave, Jay.
Okay.
I can make the White Album here. I choose not to because I'm not that talented. So, anyway. No, the book, guys, thank you so much. We've got a bunch of messages about this. Jay, I was going to ask you about this. Hmm. Do you want to read the book or should Jody Michael do it? Do you want a male voice or a female voice? A bunch of people are asking for an audio book, or is my buddy Tim. We named a Reef on Wabagoon listening book Reef because Tim goes, hey, Steven, when does the listening book come out?
I don't know. Hire a Czech or something like that. Get a hard accent in there. That'd be cool.
That would be ridiculous. So
yeah, I'll do it. I don't care.
Other than that, working through it, guys, I'm working on some other writing. We'll talk about that in the future, but the holy crap, thank you. God bless you. Everything we do, on occasion people are like, all you do is talk. I have nothing else to do but talk about myself. That's all I know, and I'm not trying to. I just talk muskies and I talk about what's going on with my life. Thank you. I suck at everything else other than this. I'm kind of a subpar husband and a kind of crappy developer, and I don't mow the lawn, and I don't know how to do the dishes. You know, you're good at, Jay, you stick with the things you're good at, right?
Yeah, that's what they say.
You know, got a great wife, and she puts up with my bullshit. And
she does.
You know, let me get that out of the way. I apologize. That's a little loose lip, Jay. However, talk to Steve Herbeck for about 45 minutes. If you have children in the car, just turn it off now.
45-minute talk?
I don't have the time to edit this.
Yeah, okay.
There's more.
Well, I'm very interested. You piqued my interest.
There's more F-sharps in this thing than a frickin' Brahms frickin' overture.
You're talking about Steve Herbeck.
Yeah.
Big fish machine of all time.
Big fish machine. So, you know, man, I'll tell you. Love Joe. Love Herbeck. The toss-up between the two greatest is between those two fools. It really
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
If you don't think so, you don't know so. And they're machines. And so Herbeck, I'll say this, he gets fired up, and we talk about the Kraken.
Okay.
We're talking about the Kraken because that's the coolest new thing that's coming out.
Yeah, coming out this fall. It's going to be great.
Crap, dude. I just let him roll. I apologize for Steve Herbeck's language.
Okay.
There's not much you can do. I'm not going to spend all night editing it. If you have sensitive ears, just move on. But holy crap, he has smoked more big fish on it than I have.
Yeah, you've been saying he's been doing great on it on Eagle Lake up there in Ontario this summer.
And he leaves this week. I left last week.
Mm.
We were fighting each other like via text, and I love Herbeck. It's a fun friendship where I know if he's catching them, I'll catch them. It's kind of a tit for tat thing, right? It's not competitive, but it's fun. And I would send him, got four on topwater and got one on crack, and he'd be like, you know, bugger you, right?
Well, yeah, but anytime you can bounce off ideas with someone like that, I mean, how cool is that?
Like, if anybody that's just a total turd that I love, it's Steve Herbeck.
And didn't you call me one night from when you were up there, and you're like, hey, we can't do the podcast, and I got to drive to
Safeway,
which was like, yeah, or meet him halfway or something. He's just like, you had to give him like one of your last prototype Krakens.
Yeah, he's like, give me that.
Give me one more. That guy lost one. Come on up there now.
I mock him and on the thing. It's so funny. He would call me, and it's just like, I love him. He's such a hoot. He Herbeck, what you see is what you get, right? There's no pretense with him. If he doesn't like something, he's like, this sucks, right? If he loves something, he loves something.
But yeah, I think you're right.
Like, oh my God. If I was in a bar fight, Jay, it's like, if you pick your fighters, I'd pick Herbeck. Like, Herbeck would be my number two, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
If we're just going to have a throwdown, people might get bit in the neck. Steve Herbeck's my dude. He's just nasty.
Goes
He's
right in hilarious. There.
He's just no holds barred, just a real son of a gun. I love him. He's a ton of fun to hang out with. If you're not fish with him, get him while you can. You know, I don't know how much longer he's going to guide, but God, he's just the most passionate little dude about musky fishing that I know, and he's so funny. But I like gabbing with him. So we gab about the Titan here in a second, and I'll roll that. But other than that, we did the Kamikaze video this week. I'm not trying to talk about my own crap. Sorry. But tell me on anything else that's new this year. If there's something else new, I'd talk about it. Other than that, the bite backs are in, and the Slop Master, right?
Slop Master Spoon.
We sort of touched on this last week. If you've not looked at the Slop Master, you need to look at the Slop Master.
Seriously, look at
this. My wife is a Slop Master. She's had two.
Hey, is that Jody Michael?
She can hear you now.
Can
Jody,
she hear me?
Jody, she can hear you. Come here.
Seriously,
okay.
Seriously, if you don't look at the Slop Master, you're not slopping.
Are you not slopping?
She's Jody.
Jody's going to do the rest of the intro with us. Watch your language, Jody.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about Slop Master spoons here. Put your head against mine. You can hear.
I can't hear you.
How sloppy are you?
I'm so sloppy.
Folks, this is an advertisement. Go to your local gas station and get Clubtail margaritas. You won't feel anything except numb inside. Jody, tell them how you feel.
Sloppy.
Folks, if you want to catch a muskie out of the slop, get a Slop Master spoon. For just one payment of $19.99, a Slop Master spoon can be yours.
Thank you, Joe Booker Outdoors.
Thank you, Joe Booker Outdoors. Getting sloppy
there you have it.
With Jody Michael and Joe Booker.
It's outstanding for fishing in and around thick and weedy cover.
Bushy slop.
Hi, Jay Bird.
Hello, Jody. How you doing?
Long time.
Kayak. Get in your kayak. Get back in that kayak.
It's
shoot another
degrees.
Video.
No one kayaks in 100.
Midnight kayak.
No.
Me love you long
Put
time.
A little lantern in there. Oh, wonderful.
I have a pond. I don't need a kayak.
Jody Michael just dug the world. We call it the grotto. If you've ever seen the Playboy grotto from the 60s, it's in my backyard now. She dug it.
I dug a whole pond in the back.
With ducks, right? And the ducks.
There's ducks. There's bluegill. You could basically house a 50-inch muskie in this thing. It's kind of amazing.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite?
Oh, nickel tiger. That's
Joe
nice
Booker
one.
Spoon. Nickel tiger.
Oh, no, let me see this one.
Fire tigre.
This is common. This is the
red and white. Don't want that.
No. This is a five of diamonds. Everybody's got that.
Why do they not have an ace of spades? Ace of spades!
Click on the, is that a frog?
How do you have a five of diamonds but not an ace of spades?
The ace of spades.
Psycho froggy?
No, that's not psycho froggy. That's just frog. That's before he went psycho.
Psycho no froggy walked the doggy.
No, that's the non-acid frog.
Okay.
Ace of spades!
If you lick the psycho froggy, do you have...
If you lick the psycho froggy...
Do you, have a moment?
You have a moment. Depends on the waters you fish. If you fish next to, say, sewage treatment plants, you're going to have a moment.
We live next to Oak Ridge.
Right, so you'll
Nuclear
just get
power
cancer.
Plant. Okay.
It's just Fair the enough. Psycho froggy cancer doggy is what we call that. Jody's going to give you Jody Michael.
What do you got? Quit talking like that.
I'm just doing radio voice because you're not doing it.
Yeah, well,
and you never come back here.
Well.
What's your hottest catch and fish tip?
My hottest catch and fish tip?
What?
Jody Michaels, Hot what Tips number, of the Week, and brought to you by Musky 360.
Brought to you by MEPS. What number MEPS do you use for bass? For
number
bass,
three.
Number four.
For Musky.
Well, that would be a
Musky killer.
One, the giant killer.
Right.
Giant killer, yeah.
So all she fishes is MEPS, folks. If it's not a MEPS, she doesn't want it. What color MEPS do you fish?
White.
White, silver.
No, white. Just white.
Just white and silver.
Yep.
MEPS, if you're listening, get in while you can.
No, but what's that other one that I like with the
you like
rainbow
the,
skirt?
You like
oh,
the,
it's sparkly.
You like the MEPS Musky Flashaboo?
Yeah, but the gold one.
That is the gold MEPS Musky Flashaboo.
That no, that's not what it's called. Look it up here.
It's MEPS.
Look in here.
Folks.
Jody's cute bait version number two coming next week on the Musky 360 podcast.
Well, she knows where everything's at because she does the website. If you guys don't know this, Jody Michael, everything you buy, Jody controls.
Here
we go.
Right here.
MEPS Musky Flashaboo.
That's the one.
That's the one.
Go up.
Which
go
one
up.
Is this? This is
this
the
guy.
Fire Tiger
no,
Fire Tiger.
That's not
nope,
it.
Nope, no, no, no.
That Fire Tiger Gold.
That's money.
Oh, money. Fire Tiger Gold is money.
She's MEPS got some big... Blade. Actually, she's got big musky on it.
It's,
money?
It's money. The MEPS blades start every time.
Oh, start every time.
No problem.
No problem. So that is Joni Michaels'
Quit
hot
talking
tips.
Like that. It's irritating.
Sometimes. Darn right it is.
Just talk like a normal person.
We can't though, Joey.
We can't though. It's impossible.
We've tried,
this
but it doesn't
a
work.
Monster truck rally.
It is though.
This guy here.
No, that's short.
Yeah, black short short.
Black short short.
Get that, guys. Black short short or Fire Tiger Gold.
It is a short fist. Folks,
it's the best
do you MEPS. Need MEPS advice? Message the Musky Shop app. You'll get nothing but MEPS advice.
Jody Michaels Shart Week is brought to you by
Welcome
Discovery
to
Channel.
Shart Week. So let's talk about this. You're sitting here in my
Hold
lap.
On. Put your knees
and being
together.
Cute.
What are
so
you?
We've got the Musky Shop blog, which you write.
Yeah.
Most people are on this.
Sometimes.
Musky
this one
Shop.
Is Jim.
Jim wrote
writes,
that.
Jim
How
writes
to a... nail down late summer lakes. I want to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the fish macocumbe. What's that?
It's a Louisiana dish.
Nobody wants that.
Everybody does. It's good.
No one wants that.
It's spicy fish. It's
spicy fish. Lure color 101. What do muskies want? What did you learn while writing that?
That red is no good for deep muskies.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you'd like to share with the class?
No, that blue and green and dark go down the lowest. So if you're fishing deep, don't fish red. Basically.
Fair enough.
Color Jay, spectrum analysis.
All right. Chris, hey guys, love the podcast. My buddies and I have been listening nonstop while we fish, hoping to find some help, some info. We're fishing a reservoir here in southeastern Pennsylvania called Lake, not going to say it, and it's been brutal. It's not a new body of water for us. We didn't always struggle. For the last 4 or 5 years, the state has been dumping a ton of weed killer in as soon as weed beds come in. This reservoir has an abundance of forage, mainly alewives and gizzard shad. We have listened to the Structure Fishing Masterclass and ran through the shallow, mid, and deep endeavor and spent days trolling. To add injury to insult, there are two big fish taken last year. A 30-pounder caught by a guy jigging for perch on a small shad dart. Ouch. And a 44-pounder caught on a rubber worm.
There you have it.
Dangor said he was fishing for whatever was biting. Any insight would be highly appreciated. Jay, Jody, my first thought is fish whatever's biting, right? Just go out there, fish a wacky worm all day. Just 17 hours of that. That'll
Six
do.
Six of them.
Six wacky worms on an A rig. No. Oh. So when weeds go away in a body of water, it will change the way muskies stage, but more importantly, the way forage stages. Forage will get smaller. Muskies are going to pick off the big stuff, and they're going to move progressively to smaller forage because the forage is having a harder time feeding, which turns it into an open water hellscape for fish, right? You do not want to be an open water fish. Pelagic fish live a terrifying existence. When will I be eaten and by what? Right? So if you believe in reincarnation, do not come back as a pelagic fish. Bad stuff. Right? You're like, I'm swimming along and I'm dead.
No.
You get hammered by a hammerhead or you get smoked by a muskie. Being a bait fish, no good. So sad. Nobody wants that, right? So muskies are going to obviously adhere to structure. They're going to think about structure as far as a generalization. However, the bait fish are open water. Guess what? Muskies will be open water. Use your down scan, your side scan, your live imaging if you got it. The one commentary I make, when muskies lose that coverage, their eyes turn to action more so than location. So smaller presentations in open water seem to excel on bodies of water that don't have shoreline vegetation. Big fish will still adhere. If you find, say, a rock or a stump or something of that nature where it's like, this is always produced, there's this one outlier where here's Larry's rock on Cliff's Point. Big muskies will remember that and they'll still use it, right? I would still throw big baits at whatever kind of cover is left. But if the vegetation's gone, them critters are open water. I'm going to troll as many small to mid-sized baits as I can get out there legally and cover the water. So 5, 6, 7-inch baits or bass-sized crankbaits and cover it to the best of my ability. Lunging 22 shorts, 22 longs come to mind.
Yeah,
especially
yeah,
if I've got LYs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Downsize and cover water. Downsize, downsize, downsize. Because the forage is getting smaller. So what muskies were once looking for might have been big walleye or big rainbows or whatever you had there or big suckers. Things are trailing off because the coverage is bad. So everybody's having problems with caloric intake. The muskies are going to change their expectations, Jay. Much like my wife lowered expectation when she married me, right?
Times two.
Times two.
Ooh,
oh,
ouch.
Facts. It's just a fact, you know?
We're not here to hurt people.
It's just, we're here to tell the truth.
We're just here for the truth.
Cola, should I run split rings on all my rubber and glide style baits? Rubber baits? Absolutely. A big Super 7 split ring on a Medusa or a Bulldog from the Muskie Shop or a swim bait like a Poseidon. I'm all for it. Glide baits? Yep. Jody Michael, you are a glide bait phenom.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Why? Less snap? Less pap? What do you say?
Less wiggle.
Less wiggle, less jiggle. My money doesn't wiggle, wiggle, it folds.
Yeah.
So you want a tighter wiggle, less jiggle. How much jiggle do you have?
About three.
On a scale of 1 to 3.
Fuck you.
Oh, wow. You hit it before her Beck did. Congratulations, folks. Turn it off and you're on the way to church. But nonetheless, we want to make sure that we have a good snap to our glide bait. So if you're really dialing on glide bait bite, I recommend making leaders that attach directly to the line tie in your glide bait and hand tailoring them and alleviating the snap and the split ring entirely. Now, if you're just exploring, you can get away with a glide bait on a snap or a something that has a swivel like a Muskie Shop leader. But Bulldogs, rubber baits, Krakens, tubes, split ring is good. Gives them a bigger swing. Glide baits, we want more snap.
Hard snap.
Oh, snap!
Hard snap.
Hard snap. Jay, what do you think?
Huh? I'm watching a movie here. What?
What are you watching? Why are you not paying attention?
Oh, yeah, I am. Okay, go ahead.
Thanks.
He's watching a new murder documentary.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know.
Jay?
Yeah, Steve.
What's wrong with you?
3 out of 10. I'm not sure. I'm not sure, Steve. Like
in a grand
how to
scheme,
put that? Like, yeah. Like and overall, I don't know.
Well, you know, we'll work through it. We're getting there.
Always have.
Joe. What sonar unit has the best mapping for northern Wisconsin? Hmm. Jay, say hmm. Hmm. Hmm.
Huh.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Hmm. It's all about the chip you buy.
Chippy.
One thing I'll tell you, if you buy a Lowrance unit, you can use CMAP Genesis and you can download.
Chippy.
Jetty wants to say Chippy. I saw it from a while away. Chippy. My Chippy.
Me Chippy.
If you want to buy a Lowrance unit, you could use CMAP Genesis and download maps for a lot of inland lakes that are already scanned onto a generic SD card.
Chippy.
Lowrance is going to do that for you. Hummingbird, you're going to have to do it off your phone. Where
Hummy
you,
boy.
Hummingbird. What's wrong with you? Jay, lead paint is real. When I made the original Titans, we sprayed them with lead paint, and this is what happened to my wife.
It explains a lot.
It explains a lot. So
that's why they call it the bait cave.
They call it the bait cave. It's just lead paint in here and cedar. Cedar dust and lead paint. Our life expectancy is 51. Hummingbird.
Hummingbird.
Nonetheless, Hummingbird, you can download maps via Bluetooth to your unit. Garmin, their base map is kind of is what it is. Just
is what it do.
You're gonna want to buy a chip no matter where you're at. I like the Navionics or the CMAP. I think CMAP has the best overall contour lines for the north. That's what I run on my boat. I'm running on Lowrance, and I've actually ran that on Hummingbird, which seemed to work overall. So that's an option if you're willing to try it on the CMAP.
Cool.
And then that, Jay, you're just not engaged, are you? You're just
pins and needles, man.
Pins and needles. Scott, any tips for breaking down Lake Wissota in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin?
Yeah, I've heard about that lake. Yeah, I've heard about it. Haven't been on it, but that's a large, like, river system type lake. I think it's quite deep with good structure.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's like one of the more urban environment bodies of water over there. It's right by, was it Chippewa Falls? Is that what you said?
Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, I don't know a lot about it, but apparently it's got great structure. And for a river system, it's got very deep water.
Really?
I mean, the rivers around here, yeah, like 40, 50 feet, which is unusual for any river system that I'm aware of in northern Wisconsin. So
right.
I think it's probably the Chippewa River going into it, which also I believe goes into Lake Holcomb, which I fished, but which is probably a little bit north of that. So I don't know. Sounds cool. Yeah, guys get big fish out of it, but I don't know a ton about it.
Well, okay, so it's a flowage, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So we're going to look at the deeper breaks. We're going to look at where current plays. I think that's maybe the biggest takeaway is like, look where current plays on that body of water and how it's coming in and how it's exiting out of that system. Jay, let's just get Steve to her back.
I can't wait.
Night.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear her.
Anyway, folks, put on your earmuffs. Steve Herbeck has no filter, and we've already fallen off the rails this evening. Here she blows. All right, guys. I have my good friend, frickin' the man, the myth, the legend, Steve Herbeck. Herbie, how are you this evening?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. I'm in God's country where I belong.
Absolutely.
Up on Eagle Lake at Andy Myers Lodge. I only got 1 week left, you know, so I'm savoring every single minute and day of it. It's been a great 5 weeks up to this. I go back to Wisconsin for 4 weeks, you know, spend a little time with my new wife, which she wondered, but this wasn't exactly your idea of a honeymoon, me leaving for 6 weeks and going to Canada. You know?
Welcome.
But, life is what it is, and she knew what she was buying.
Oh,
right?
You know what, Herbie, the same thing. I just came home, and I was a stranger at home. You know, you go, live here? You just walk in with your dirty clothes and go, well, I hope this pans out. You know, it's the life of a fishing guide's wife. It is kind of tough. Let's cut the BS. Let's just get to the heart of the matter. Herbie texted me today. He said, we need to talk about the Kraken, right? So if you guys listen to the podcast, you've heard me talk about it. I try not to just pound on what I'm doing. We talk about every bait there is on the podcast we have for years. I would say this. What has impressed me is a bait I designed. Steve Herbeck owns it. It's crazy because you have done more with that bait than I have, which is like an honor. You're a fan of it. It's panning out.
I'm excited about it. I really am.
Like, you were texting me. So I'm over on the Goon, right? We're 40 minutes away from each other all summer long. We're sharing info. What's going on with you? What's going on with me? You know, like, because we're just minutes away from one another. We actually met at the Safeway. That's a whole other story.
Because a guest threw off my only crack and I was fucking having heart palpitations.
Talk to me, Herbie. I'll shut up. And everybody on the podcast, like I said, I'm not going to sit here and pound it. It's talk about the crack and what are you seeing? What's this bait doing for you?
Well, tubes have been mainstay, particularly in the last couple of years with most anglers. Now, and Andy Myers, we've been hot on them for 10, 12 years, ever since Mike Grant won the Nestle Falls Cup on a tube with a blade on the back. And we kind of kept it under the, but it just, you know, you guys fish with you, it spreads and Red October is a great company. And will this Kraken replace my tubes, Red Octobers, and Water Wolves? Absolutely not.
No.
But it fills a niche that's got me very, very excited.
And that's, hey, Herbie, let me jump in here real quick. You know, I've not got a chance to say it, and you brought it up. Love Mike at Water Wolf. I don't know the guys at Red October, but I love their product. It is not to replace it. It's a different presentation.
Yeah. You know, I'm excited. I haven't got, like, heavier weights to try. The weight that comes with it and the way it works and everything. And you work it differently than a tube. I instruct the people that I do trust to throw it.
That you trust. That's how much he loves it. He's like, dude, you called me. Let me just jump in here. I'm on the boat. I mentioned the podcast, Herbick, where you called me and said, this son of a gun just lost the Kraken. Do you have any more? You were so hot.
Oh. I just boated a 53 and a 45 minutes before that.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, my best girlfriend fucking went to the cowboy or something.
The old TP creeper came by and took her.
Oh man. But the deal of it is what, you know, like, you know, there's different weights and riggings in the tubes and stuff like that, that you can make them do a lot of different things. But, you know, the Kraken is different. It flows different. And what I have to tell people is it's not a tube. It looks like a tube, but it's not a tube.
Exactly.
And it doesn't replace a tube. It's its own gig. And you got to work it differently. And what you do is you pull it. And what people want to do is they want to pull and they want to reel up the slack and then they want to pull it. No, you pull it and you drop your rod tip towards the bait. And then you don't reel until your rod is pointed at the bait.
Yes.
So there's like a whiplash slack time, and that bait glides.
Thank you.
It doesn't drop. It glides. And especially with that rigging that I do with that number five willow leaf on the back, as it glides, it's just.
Yep.
And then I snap it a couple times, pop, 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 and get it up 2-3 feet, and then drop the rod tip. And so as I snap it, that the tentacles on that willow leaf are fluttering, mm-hmm. and then I drop the rod tip again, and it's messing with these fish's minds, because I'm telling you, we have been throwing tubes on Eagle Lake for a long time.
Yep.
And our Eagle Lake are some of the smartest. They're like aliens. They're some of the mm-hmm. smartest muskies in muskie country. And not only that, but then you start looking at, look at lakes like Vermilion. Like, you get up into northern Minnesota, you get northern Wisconsin,
yep.
where these fish are seeing, they're seeing tubes like crazy. And they've been like the bulldog was 30 years ago.
Yep.
They have been like the double 10 mayhems,
like the freaking China dogs. Ago. Yep.
This was the next thing, is the tubes. Now, I believe, for a spell, the Kraken could be the next.
That's awesome, dude.
I'm serious.
I know.
I'm serious.
Herb,
I'm not saying this because, you know, I work with Livingston and that. I obviously, that's one reason why we're talking about it. However, I don't bullshit, okay? And I don't get excited. I'm sure you can tell I am, okay?
Yeah.
So, when I see something that raises fish behind two or three good fishermen in front of me using a variety of baits, that typically in a progression, one or the other will raise or catch fish. And I can raise fish on a tough day or catch fish on a tough day, two or three baits behind them. Mm-hmm. That's something special.
Well, dude, thank you. And I like hearing, you know, obviously I have the utmost respect for you and anybody that asked me. Actually, I was telling the guys at camp at Wobbegoon this year, you know, about how much respect I have for you. And it's one of these things where you look at a bait and you look at, are they fighting Herbeck? What's going on in the background, Herbeck?
It's the girls cleaning the tables, and Tony the Italian giving them shit and stuff. So it's just typical here at Andy Manson.
I'm from West Virginia. I hear shouting like that, I'm ready to drop a pool stick and start swinging. What I'll say is, like, you know, I have the utmost respect for you. If you guys have read the book Next Level Muskie Fishing, I talk about how good Steve Herbeck is. And the vision I had with the Kraken was that hang time where it's just like, Herbie, have you ever had like a really good tube? Like,
I would call, you know, I get it. But in my view, my vision and what I see, I really wouldn't call it hang time. I would
like characterize a slide forward
it as
or
glide time.
Fair enough. It
glides down. And then you snap it, and then it glides down. It's different than the quick drop of the tube,
right?
Which sometimes that's killer.
Which is like,
you know, like I said, I'm not going to give up throwing tubes.
No,
if
I need to smack a deep hump, I'll probably just put on a white red October with a willow leaf blade and smack a deep hump. I mean,
God bless the guys.
Again. Like I said,
but the one advantage too is, besides that, it's a different type of presentation that a lot of fish haven't seen. It's similar, and obviously that profile
works
and everything attracts fish, or the tubes wouldn't be as successful as they are right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the little bit. They're everybody's throwing them now. Whereas it was kind of
up until a couple years ago.
Up until a couple years ago, there's people didn't believe in them. They were, you know what I'm saying?
It was too much work, yeah.
Yeah, and not so much work. It's just it's too simple. It's like, what, this thing can catch a muskie? You know, I think guys are bullshitting me or whatever, you know? So, mm-hmm. But you know, the thing about the Kraken is, too, is I don't know, I've probably caught a dozen 13 fish, including a 53-75. 52, 51, some 47, 48s, and I haven't had to replace a skirt. I definitely haven't had to replace the head because it's solid plastic. Because not solid, but it's resin. It's not hollow. So you have that the advantage of,
that's the thing you just said, which is cool. Like,
and it's not one hook in the head. Now, like, yes. when I rig my tubes, I use number 7-aught triple grip mustads.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I lose very few fish. People tell me how many fish they lose on tubes. I use that big triple grip on front, and because most fish hit the front if you're working it right, because they hit it on the drop. Okay, so they take it head first.
Right.
But you get a snag, that motherfucker's hard to get out.
That's you true. Know?
It's now it's... the Kraken's got 3 hooks, much like say a depth rater or a pounder, or a Rachel. It's a smaller bait that's got 3 hooks that hooks fish exceptionally well. You know, so I think it has that advantage to it too. You know,
well, that was my thing. Is like, and again, big props to Red October. We just said it. I've said it twice already, so I'm not denigrating. I had problems at times with those fish would hit the mid-body section on that top hook and clients would lose them. So when I had my opportunities for to do my own take on things was that middle treble hook where you went, boom. So like when I'm rigging mine, Herbie, I'm doing 7-aught short shank triple grip in the front, 7-aught mustad in the back and leaving the stock hook in the middle. I mean, that thing's like 90% hooks at that point, like on the crack. Yeah. It's just hooky as heck. Something I'd point out, and you mentioned it, on the crack and the way it comes, it's a little short in the skirt, and you're going to go, what's going on with that? And I was going to explain it to Herbie.
Well, what I've done, because I don't have, you know, the new Livingston skirts and all that, I'm cutting $20 tubes in half. I find that it does look a lot better with longer tentacles. You know what I'm saying? So I find when I put two skirts onto the heads you gave me, after I saw one that had skirts on it, I found the tubes that were shredded the longest that I could. And what I did was then is I just added split rigs and shrink tubing to the rear hook so that the hook was near the end of the tentacles.
Exactly.
So that the tentacles wouldn't overlap the hook and cause a weird action or rolling. You know what I'm saying?
So what I did when we did this bait, and it's kind of like I'm explaining myself to her back. It's like telling dad what you've done and dad's mad, right? Because he was like, why is the hook not long enough? That's how you talk. Herbeck will call you. Hi, Herbeck. Why is the hook not long enough? I don't know, Steve. Well, fix it. Right? For the guys that want to fish smaller tubes, you can cut the tentacles off at the back of that hook. For the guys that are fishing the full 10-inch deal, take a piece of wire or split ring it back, right?
So I just added 3-4 split rings and then shrink wrapped it.
Shrink wrap it and you got money.
But the bait does flow better to me with longer tentacles. It just doesn't. I'm not saying it won't catch fish, but it doesn't get. I gotta get excited when I see a fish, like I'm a muskie or it don't. It just don't do it for me, right?
Yeah.
So I like longer tentacles and adding split rings and shrink wrap to get the hook back a bit, and then the willow leaf. Oh my God, the number 5 willow leaf. It's so deadly the way it flows.
We need to.
I hope they add that as part of the package.
I want to do like a Herbie hook for that thing. Like, we need to do that no matter what. Whether Eric wants to do it or if I got to make them here at the bait cave for this bait. Herbie, like,
You know what? I hate to say it, but you know what? Because I shoot a straight line always, right?
You're incredulous.
You know the hook I'm using a lot on the back is the hook off of the beaver. the hook with the willow leaf.
Hold on, Herbeck. Don't yell at me. My wife's here. I don't want to cry in front of my wife because you're mean to me.
Yeah. But the hook that beaver bait sells as an addition to the beaver to add a willow leaf to the back of the beaver.
Nice.
For guys that don't have, you know, all the parts and the abilities and just want the quick fix, that is a real
nice
good option. You know?
Yeah.
Because it's done right and it works good. And I'm sure ours will be very similar because it works.
Well, that's simple. The thing is, like, you know, props whoever came up with that.
I think the Colorado slows the bait down too much at the current weight that I have.
So, if I have
a Kraken with the next weight available that may be 7 grams heavier, the Colorado has a lot of thump to it with still flat. It may be something that I'm going to want to use. I don't have that option yet. I'm not at the top of the ladder like you.
Make a bait. We're throwing Herbie. Here's my thing. Again, you're throwing the willow. I've had really big luck, at least for me, right? So I just did Wobbegoon, which is not a small fish fishery. It's a shield. Like, it's just freaking dirty.
Matter of fact, there was a tournament on there.
Oh, I know.
Last weekend, Calix, Julian's son, and Trevin, a guy from Andy Myers, won it against everybody from Dryden and the guys on the lake and everything else. They won it second year in a row.
Well, I called them and I said, "Hey, let me fish it." And they said, "No, Herbie." So there was that. What I was doing in a shallow water fishing, because Wobbegoon's not stained, it's turbid, right?
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
Turbid and stained are not the same thing. French blade, right?
Yeah.
I was running a number 5 French blade, which is a fast. That thing's like, if you go the hierarchy of blades, French and willow spin really fast. But I was using that French blade to sort of suspend it over that shallow weed, because if we're talking about
that French might, you know, just have a whole different vibration. I don't think the willow has a lot of vibration. It has some visual flash. It flashed, and the Colorado has a lot of thump, and that French is right in between. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean,
and if you're
I'd have to cut a $15 meth spinner in half to get one, but I might try it.
Well, if you had baits laying around, I'm in the bait cave, Herbeck. I got French blades coming up my ears. Just tell me what you need,
baby.
Yeah,
you're 1,200 miles from me. It's a big deal.
I'll see you tomorrow. That's right. Me and Herbeck don't get along, folks. If you can't tell, it's horrible. But it's just an interesting thing because, like, you know, this is my first year. I've spent about a decade learning the goon from Denorik and to Turner and all this stuff. But to really just smash them out there, you know, that's a turbid fishery that needs big thump.
Well, in all honesty, there hasn't nothing been. I've been here 30. I've fished the lake for 40, and I've been here 30. This has not been the very best summer.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's okay. It's good.
No, it was donkeys or dinks, better, dude.
And the big fish are kind of doing something really weird.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of the mid-range fish are the ones you're catching. The big fish didn't die or get up in the woods and walk away to the next lake, you know?
Put on their sneakers and left.
It's just, I think it's going to be an awesome fall, though. I've seen this once or twice, you know, in the last 30 years where it's been like this. Usually August is, you can't beat mid-July to end of August in Canada, usually, you know, for both numbers and big fish and nice weather, you know, daytime, night, evening fish and everything, you know. And, you know, I've got some good fish. I've seen some great, but it's been weird. So, and I think it's been a lot like that all over Muskie Country. You know, there's some great catches. you know, but I don't know if anybody's had the best season they ever had in their life.
No. I mean, if you did, you know? Yeah, if you did, the bar was pretty low.
Yeah, right. You know? Right. So...
I mean,
usually it evens out. So I think it's going to be a great fall.
Look, something I wanted to point out, it's not been talked about yet. And screw it. I'm drinking Pep. Do you have a drink in your hand, Herbeck?
I got a guy just gave me a bottle of piggyback bourbon for my wedding.
Not Pepsi. It's not. We. There's no bourbon on this show, Herbeck. What are you talking about?
Oh.
Piggyback this Pepsi.
This is called Whistle Pig. You can call it Pepsi if you want.
Whatever makes your boat float. Anyway, freaking. Oh my God. So. Herbeck calls me, right? And when your phone rings, and I'm just going to make fun of you for a second because I love you. When your phone rings and it's Steve Herbeck, you know you're in for a world of shit, right? So I'm standing there. I'm with a client on the boat. Phone rings. It's Herbeck. What are you doing? You're shouting because Steve Herbeck shouts at all times. I just came up with the best bleeping idea you've ever heard. I'm like, really? Really? What's the best idea I've ever heard? Put a paddle tail on that mother. Right? It's 7:30 in the morning, folks. I just had some scrambled eggs and I'm kind of hungover. Herbeck shouting in my ear. And it is the best idea I've heard. Tell them about what you did with the Kraken and the action we got out of that thing.
That I'll tell you, that you put the paddle tail on that Kraken, and what's that one bait that
Phantom
was
Hardhead?
Hardhead. Nobody can get them anymore. You put the big squirrely tail on that head there. Now you got a multi-dimensional bait.
Yeah.
That is badass.
It's ridiculous. We've been playing with it in Canada. We have turned the Kraken from a weird jerkbait, glidebait thing into the baddest, as he said, badass. It is the baddest ass swim bait I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That's going to be available, guys. Prepare for that. It's no joke. The tails are coming. They fit around the body of the Kraken. It is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, we're smoking fish on it. Just absolutely the silliest thing I've ever seen. And then, like, we're talking, and it was just like, why do we not do a big paddle or grub tail or a big squirrely tail on that thing? So if you were smoking fish on Phantom Hardheads, now you have the availability to do whatever you want with this body. So it is a vertical jig. It is a tube presentation. It's a glide presentation. It is a paddle tail, and now it's a pull bait.
Well, and the thing of it is, you know, unlike other plastic baits, you simply, you know, the dimension that we're looking at of different presentations is becoming, you know, it's like eye-opening. So there's going to be all, I believe, if fucking head honchos listen to the guys that actually throw the shit.
Right.
Listen to us. With a simple screwdriver, you can change the weights anywhere, you know, from 7 to 35 grams and make things do whatever you want it to do, how deep you want to fish it, how, you know, I mean, it's not like, you know, you have to do it according to how you work the bait. You can actually change the weight or the weightlessness, whichever you want, whichever way you want it to be, with a fucking screwdriver. How can you beat that?
Wow.
It's not like you got to have a whole nother bait. It's not like you got to change a whole harness. It's not, you know, it's the genius of the future, you know?
Well, you know, here's what I'll tell you. It freaking.
By the way, do you bleep this? Beep this?
No,
thing
no, I'm not going to because I'm dying laughing. That's why I love you. It's like freaking his mate is so freaking.
All right, good.
That's what's amazing about you, Herbie.
If anybody that hears me knows that I don't give a shit.
Anytime me and Herbeck are on the boat, it is a F sharp fest, right? That is what I call it. I can't do it on the podcast. I try my best, but so one thing I don't know. Have you fished at Weightless?
No, I have not, because even the way it is, the way I have it, as long as I allow it to do what I want it to do, I can fish it up high on the reefs and work it down the edge. But yet, at the same time, without allowing it to drop, I can work it over the tops of weeds yet. Now, right. I'm not fishing it in stuff that's laying over the top.
The surface,
you know, we've got the water, the water has dropped like 3-4 degrees. So some of the weed buds are pretty gnarly. And that's spinnerbait and jerkbait country. Right. You know, I'm not going to try and make this thing do something that's not intended to be. But weeds that are starting to die off on big sand flats, you know, or maybe a different time of the year or next year, when you got weed tops that are 2-3 feet down, this thing, as long as you, if you start pumping it and working it right away, it, even at the, I think, what is it, 28 grams on 28 it grams, right now, you can work it right over the top. I was working over the tops off Johnson's, you know, with no problem, as long as I didn't allow it to glide before. See, what I do is when it hits the water, I allow it, I kind of shut the barrel. So it kind of glides towards me. So if it's on the top of a hump on the edge, it's gliding towards the edge instead of dropping straight down and stuck it on the rock.
Yep.
It's gliding towards the edge, and I give it a second or two. Then I give it a pump, and I let it fall with my rod tip pointed at it before I even start reeling. And then I pump it. By the time I get to the boat, the thing is about 4, 5, 6 feet down, which is perfect for me. You know? So I expect to use heavier weights because I don't have enough patience to use it at, you know, the 18 foot level at with the 28 grams. So I expect to experiment with it with heavier weights, you know, as fall comes, you know, so I can work it. But the way it glides, you know, it's just where the weight is versus way up in the nose and where the line tie is.
Yes.
It's not going to drop straight down like stone.
Oh.
It's always going to kind of glide, you know?
There you go. He saw it himself, folks, what I dreamed of for years. The trick with that, though, and I said it in a Muskie Shop video, Herbie, is if you take the weight out, there's an open chamber where you can add whatever you want. My favorite thing to put in there is BBs until that thing sinks like a stone and it still glides.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you can fill that chamber with whatever you want and get whatever depth you want and whatever speed. So if you need fast or whatever you need, it's a modder's paradise. The reason I asked about the shallow, like I've caught fish by taking all the weights out, right? This is miraculous. And so we're talking about adding a willow leaf on the back.
Girl.
What was that? What?
No, I'm just a little puppy dog come to me and I had to give her a hug.
Freaking little. Everybody, hold on. Steve Herbeck's loving a puppy dog. Can we all take a break for a moment?
Yeah, it wasn't a female guest. It was a puppy dog.
It was the housekeeper's. But anyway. Something I've figured out that's ridiculous with this bait. If you put a number 9 or a number 10 blade on the back with a high rod angle over shallow weeds, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you can.
Yeah, I mean, really, we're just on the very edge of reality of what we can do with this bay.
Well,
I mean, so right now it works very good.
There's two people that have them, Herbie.
What we visioned in the beginning. Now, the creativity will move from here. So, you know, it's kind of just going to the paddle tail and the tubes. You know, I mean, it's not going to change. I'm not going to not throw swimming dogs.
Right.
I'm not going to throw, you know, fucking Poseidon.
Right.
This is a different bait, you know.
It's rocking and rolling. And like you said, there's two people that have them on Earth. We're talking right now.
Yeah.
And it's been the smoke show of the season. Of like you said, I do the same thing, dude. Fishing with three great anglers in the boat, and you go, oh, well, that one came in on me.
Well, I gave it to two different customers that I trusted.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron McTavish got a 53.75.
Whoa, yee.
And she
How big was that again?
53.75. It's her personal best. And she fishes with the baddest guys in Minnesota and Wisconsin that there is.
Yeah.
Her and I have a special relationship. We fish together every year. It's just, she's remarkable. It's just amazing how things happen, and I trust her with my baits. And then another guy that's he's not a real big musky fisherman, but he is now. He got a 53-incher. What I found, the way this glide baits, the way this bait, Jesus Christ, I'm getting off. The way this bait, and it's not the whiskey, I'm just stuttering. The way this bait glides is that it is an awesome, I've had two fish caught on tough days as throwbacks, not because we even threw back at the fish, because the fish chased in on a blade, but it didn't chase. It was one of them slow, lazy ass deals.
Right.
And you know, wow, this fish ain't never gonna bite nothing.
Right.
But yet the guy that I had throwing the kraken at the back of the boat, because I had three people, so I was just standing in the middle, being a professional boat driver, you know, investing that day.
Right.
He was at the back of the boat with the kraken and throws back at 45 and catches the son of a bitch on a fish that I thought was not gonna ever bite.
Yep.
Because of that glide.
Yep. That hang, that glide. You call it glide time. I call it hang time. That kind of, I'm dying. There's nothing for it. Eat me or don't. You know, it's got that nastiness to it. That's so freaking awesome. I nothing gets me more excited than hearing how fired up you are about it, because everybody's sick of hearing me. Like, of course I'm fired up about my own bait, right? Well, you know, who gives a shit? You're fired up on it. You've caught more big fish on it than I have at this point. I'm going to try to fix that very shortly. But, you know, it's one of those things of like...
Well, you're going to have trouble keeping up, buddy. I got a week left up here.
I got more crap.
And I'm heading to Big Green for 2 weeks.
Oh, Lordy.
The first 2 weeks of September when I get back. And then I'm going to be up at Rob's at Fibbers, you know, up in northern Wisconsin fishing. I'm going to fish the big fish waters, you know, Twin and Flambeau Chain.
Well, good luck.
Stuff like that.
Good luck
to
you.
Stuff like that I love, and I can't wait to show them fish this stuff.
Oh, they're gonna fall out, losing their minds.
Because you know as well as I do, all the boys for the last 4 years have been just pounding them lakes with tubes.
Yep.
You know, so I'm excited to see the fish see something that's like a tube, but that has a little bit different action, you know?
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you this. We'll move on from the kraken because it's just, guys, this has literally been like, Herbie, in all honesty, we're not pumping this thing. We spent a month texting each other about the fish we caught in this thing. It was like, what do you get? What do you get? What do you get? What do you get? Right? We're back and forth, and like, Herbie has a couple. Wait, we had some nasty fronts, and I'm like, got this, got that. We're barbing each other on the crack, and
there ain't
no
bullshit. I've sent you pictures, with fucking fish with the bait stuck in its fucking mouth,
right,
and everything else, and nobody can say nothing, but it's the real deal.
Well, you know, we're the real deal, baby. We know how to catch these things, so it's just like. Yeah. you know, when 50s don't mean much, don't brag to me if it starts with a 3, Steve Herbeck. You know, when it boils down to that, I mean, me and you have smoked big fish on the Shield Lakes, and that's what we do. To get away from the Kraken, you're coming into Wisconsin here shortly, right?
Yeah.
Other than the Kraken, what do you think in seasonality? We had that late ice out. It's been a tough season, I think, for everybody. I've talked to no one that's like, again, you said it earlier, I'm stealing from you. This is not the best year that anyone's ever seen. How do you sort of recap?
It all depends on what's going on in the next couple of weeks. Now, I've seen the water temperatures have dropped, you know, into the 60s. Now there's some weather coming. It may go back up in the 70s. But still, the nights are getting, you know, longer. The days are getting shorter. Typically, there's going to be fish moving up into, you know, into the weeds. But what's going on is we had a lot of fish going, and I preached it for years, but nobody wants to do it because you don't see follows. Is I'm fish. I caught a lot of my big fish out since I've been up here. Is the walleye humps because mm-hmm. I got a crew of fucking walleye guides here that are a lot of my old, you know, my old employees and friends and family damn near that are seeing walleye muskies chasing walleyes every day. And they're telling me, you know, what's going on. So. But the only thing is the fish out on them humps are there for a reason. They're only there to eat. So you don't get follows. So if you don't get a hit, people give up on it pretty quick, right? Mm-hmm. And I tend to target humps that boats leave from. They left it for why? Because the walleyes quit biting. Why did they quit biting?
Okay.
So if you get there quick enough, a lot of times if the fish is still worked up from all them 80 to 100 12 to 18 inch walleyes they were jerking up, it don't take long. You don't gotta sit and pound. they come right away, and it's there's no follows. They hit.
Herbeck,
you know?
There's something I learned from you a couple years ago with Tim, my friend from the Netherlands. You just pull up on a walleye hump and you force them off. It's called Steve Herbeck's offensive fishing, right? So if your bait lands and it hits their gunnel, they'll leave, right? So you just pull up. Here's some two poor sons of bitches, right? They're jigging walleye, and you just pull up and just drop bombs on them.
They don't realize if we catch a muskie, it's only going to help their walleye fish.
Right, right. And you just look at them. You just do a circle around them, right? They're fishing walleye.
But what I'm getting at is that kind of dissipated as the water temperature started to cool off, the fish, it seems like what the walleyes are doing, and I'm sure it's going to happen the same way, you know, in northern Wisconsin, northern Minnesota, whatever, is it seems like the walleyes are starting to make their move like it's already second week in September.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens then is the muskies follow them, you know, so... Some go up into the weeds shallow because of the, you know, that's just what happens. But then some of the bigger fish, what they do is they follow these walleyes down and they're on that rock mud line and they're down there and you can't find, I don't care how good you are with scope. I don't care how good you are with 2D. I don't care how good you are. Unless they're up moving with the walleyes, when they're tight to the bottom, you can't find them, you know? So what we do is we fish loose schools of walleyes, and every once in a while you'll see a movement of a fish swimming around with them, and then you catch them, it's a very tough pattern. But I think that's why we're having a tough time finding a whole bunch of really big fish in the last week to 10 days, because I think they're making that move, and people just don't realize that. Walleyes and muskies and pike and everything else, they make major moves this time of year. Yeah. I'm telling you, man, the signs are here. Here it is, the third week going into the fourth week of August, and there's whole islands that are yellow.
Yeah.
And I ain't seen that till the second, third week of September.
Right.
I think unless some abnormal, crazy shit happens and we get Indian summer, 80 degrees, and it screws everything up, I think we got an early fall coming.
Well, which is like we've had, like, it's been cold up north and hot down south, right? It is so hot down. It is unbelievably hot at home. It's unbelievable. If you're in the South, they had 100 degrees is what Jay told me the other day in southern Wisconsin. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So the heat's in the South and the cold's in the North. You got to make adjustments, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is it.
And when you get 100 degree, I don't care, man. Your water temperatures are going to get beyond fishable level.
Right. Right. But for anybody that's pursuing them in Canada or fishing this, it's chilly. I mean, I was wearing cold weather gear a couple of days in August.
Yeah. I had flannels on this morning.
You know, you sent me a text one. You sent me a text day one day. He said, "Are you surfing?" We had what, 5 footers all day. It was just like, wow, this sucks. You know, you're out of the boat.
What people don't realize is what that wind does to the profile of a lake, because it's like blowing out a big bowl of soup. Mm-hmm. It changes the whole water column depth change, temperature change.
Yep.
You know, you have the same temperature change all the way down to 30 feet after you get a big blow like that. And those fish, instead of being shallow, they're just as happy at 30, 40 feet.
Right. It's all the same at that point. Who cares? So it was nutty. So anyway, folks, I can't tell you how much I appreciate Herbeck's input on the crack. And guys, you don't have to hear it from me. You've heard it from one of the legends of the sport about what this bait's going to do. I mean, you saying it's a game changer like the Bulldog and the double tens is probably the best thing I've ever heard. I can't thank you enough for that. But how you fish it, Herbeck, one more time, like go over, like when you get a crack and these things come out, right? How do you approach
it? They're going to come out if it's the same as the prototype.
It is exactly the same as what you got.
Okay, so here's the gig. I don't know if it's going to come with a willow leaf. I like putting a number 5 willow leaf on the back, and I had to add a couple split rings for the hook to clear the tips of the tentacles.
Uh-huh.
I like the way it worked with the number 5 willow leaf. And what I do was I throw it out and I let it glide for about a count of 4 or 5. And then I pump it 3-4 times and I let it glide. And then I pump it 3-4. About that time, I think I'm off the edge of the ledge, because I'm fishing rocks a lot right now. Boom, boom. I let it go down and I pump, pump, and I pull. I never pull the bait until after I drop the rod tip back to the bait and reel up the slack. I never reel the slack while the bait is falling.
Thank you.
It disrupts the glide.
Yep.
It changes it. Now you have to be sharp because sometimes the fish will hit it on that glide. And you got it's not a smoke, it's a tick. And you feel a tick, you smoke it. I don't care if it's a rock. I don't care if it's a log. I don't care if it's what.
You a dead body. Smoke it.
Because it's not a strike unless that fish grabs it and you feel it as you come back on the next sweep.
Mm-hmm.
Then it seems like, holy shit. But there'll be times when it's gliding down, you'll feel tick, and you better just smoke it. Reel down, smoke it.
We did the video with Jay from Muskie Shop, right?
Yeah. And I never saw it, but go ahead.
So his first cast with the bait, and I was telling him, like, dude, don't work it like a tube, just like let it hang. And you watch him, he drops a rod tip and reels into it, goes, whoosh! You know, there's one. Right? So he goes to pick up the slack and there's a fish on.
Yeah.
I think so that's
It hit it on the drop.
It hit it on the drop, but the drop is slower. Yeah, the glide, right. Which is like, feel it. Something changed, smoke that fish, right?
Right. What I tell people is when I, after I pull it, when I use a Kraken, I hold the foregrip. Mm-hmm. And when I pull it and it starts to glide, I got my thumb and forefinger on the line. Mm-hmm. Before I start reeling up the slack, while it's gliding, I got my thumb and forefinger on the line. And it just makes, I can feel it that much better, right? If something ticks it, right?
Absolutely.
So, sometimes, you know, it isn't a tube. A tube is amazing where fish will just gobble it and try and swallow it. Whereas that thing does have a hard head. So those fish can tell, you know, you don't got as much time because they can tell that it's not real. Whereas with a tube or a dog or a Medusa, they think because there's so much rubber there that it's the real, it's just meat, right? Mm-hmm. So I think you got to be way more alert with the Kraken.
Right.
Because it's not a fast drop. It's a slow glide and they can grab it and you got to be alert. You can't be looking at eagles and fucking talking shit, you know?
Can I get that on a t-shirt, please? Can that be like on the deck of my boat? Like, folks, what's your number one God drip? Just read this. Don't be looking at eagles and That's amazing advice. Folks, I can't thank him enough. Steve Herbeck, you're a legend of muskie fishing. Thank you so much for your tips on the crack. And folks, we'll have him back on here really soon. Herbeck, what's your plans for this winter? How can people fish with you if they want to get a hold of you?
All you got to do is just go to my website, steveherbeckfishing.com. All the contact info is there. You want to just, and it's not just for booking. You want to talk fishing. You want information, help. You know, I just love doing it. Call me anytime. You know, I mean, you're not, you know, I get pretty bored in the winter, so I enjoy talking fishing with people.
Absolutely. Well, Herbie will be down here with me this winter. We're going to work it out. Herbie, thank you so much. Have a great night there in Andy Myers. Guys, if you want to fish at one of the best lodges on Eagle Lake, how do you get a hold of Andy Myers Lodge? How do you get a hold of Julian?
AndyMyersLodge.com. 807-220-6330, AndyMyersLodge.com. Call Julian. There's a few openings in September, a couple openings in October. Some of the best fishing's in Astoria.
Hey, here's the thing, though. What do you say, Crazy Dan, you called him?
Yeah.
A podcast guy, what do you get, a 54? What was Dan? That fish? Yeah. You said you texted.
No, that was Karen McTavish. Got a 53.75. What?
You texted me like Crazy Dan got a 54 on
Cranberries. Oh, Dan, yeah. He, not with me. He got a 54 with
Otis.
A guy, Scott Munford, that's been with me for, he was with me for, you know, 15 years before I sold it to Julian.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, you know, he's from, grew up here. Yeah, Crazy Dan got a 54. Up west, beautiful, big heavy fish. Hit a bucktail out at the end of the cast. You know, he's a lifer now.
That's ridiculous, man. So anyway, Steve Herbeck is the best muskie angler I've ever fished with. Period. You want to fish with him? Get a hold of Steve. If you want to ask me who I think's one of the best, Steve Herbeck's one of the best. Give me a shout. Herbie, thank you so much for doing this interview, man. I appreciate the hell out of you.
Not a problem, buddy. Always a pleasure.
What do you think, Jay?
Amazing stuff from Steve Herbeck, the man.
Can't go wrong there. Anyway.
Yeah, it's very cool.
It was pretty exciting. I'm just glad that Herbeck loves that bait as much as he does.
Yeah, it's good to hear some firsthand Kraken info besides, you know, the Tube Screamer, you know, how people have thrown it. So that's cool. Cool to, you good know, to hear.
So it's kind of cool. And he's begging me for more. And I'm saying, it's just one of those deals where you're like, son of a gun, man. Like, you just, you come up with something and you see it in your head. And it's funny, like, you know, Herbeck's not a guy to give you a lot of room to talk. And I love him for it. But what he's seeing and what I'm seeing are the same things, where it's hang time, or if you want to call it glide time, whatever it is, forward advancement. Don't be in a rush to pick up the slack. It's just like, you know, how many fish have you seen Joe Booker talk about the slack line twitch or the hang time, right?
Yeah.
If you're serious about muskies, you got to get serious about hang time suspension and the timing of things, and the Kraken's going to do it for you. So it's cool. I'm stoked about it. Jay.
Yes, Steve.
We're back on schedule. We're actually early. People can't even believe it.
Right? Yeah, well, they're doing a podcast on a Saturday.
What's wrong? What?
Holy cow.
How did that happen?
How have they done it? They've done the impossible, folks.
The impossible.
They've unleashed some kind of miracle.
It's like a miracle on ass. Mm-hmm. Anyway, folks, that's the least offensive word you heard after you heard Steve Herbeck talk. I apologize. You know, I tell people, Spence Petros and Steve Herbeck, they just let them fly, and it is what it is. And I don't have the time for it, but chuffed about it, Jay. I'm chuffed. Are you moderately chuffed?
Not at all. I'm just incredibly entertained all night, all evening long. It's been great. It's been good.
It's the menagerie of stars. So
yeah, fun time.
That's going on. Anyway, it was cool to hear from Herbeck. Next week, we'll probably hit some Q&A. I think we're due, and you have to remind me, Jay, for another figure eight masterclass. It's about time. So I want to delve on that next week. If Jay will remind me, I will go down the figure eight rabbit hole. Other than that, Jay, are you hot for Muskies?
I don't think that was the chorus. I think you got it wrong again. Well, it wasn't hot for Muskies, was it?
I don't know, Jay.
No one knows, but it's provocative.
I'm not your biographer, okay?
No, I'm getting mad. Can't catch a muskie.
All right, folks. Jaybird, say goodnight.
Good night, guys. Thank you.
Later.
Bye-bye.
What do you think the guy's gonna look like?